This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Once again, here we are in the frozen tundra of Kansas City for another day or two. And then things will be all right. We're almost there. We're getting closer. We got a couple more days to go, man. A couple more days to get through. But we're rocking and rolling today. Shout out to everybody that's backing at it today.
If you have to work outside today, I'm sorry. Genuinely sorry. You know, we ought to start doing like good for the show. It's like, you know, we'll hand out hot cocoa or something. You come by.
Oh, you want to go stand outside and pass out hot cocoa?
No, I'll stand inside. Oh, you have to come up to the door. Oh. I'll stand as physically close to outside without going outside to give hot cocoa to those people who are outside. Or, I don't know, Irish coffees. Can't be drinking that on the job, probably.
No,
but,
no.
You know,
but,
you get the
point. Once again, yeah, shout out to those, whether you're, you know, you work for one of the utility providers, you got to be outside, whether you're a snowplow driver, delivery driver, doesn't matter, HVAC, whatever you, if you're outside working in some elements at all, or the elements at all, then shout out to you.
I have also decided to, sometimes in life you look for personal growth.
Okay.
I have decided today that I am not going to fight with the people on the internet and on the text line today about the Royals TV package being the same as the Guardians. I just decided, you know what? It's going to come back up because I saw that the Royals announced today that they will be available via an Amazon Prime add-on if you don't want to download a new app like FanDuel TV.
That was expected.
They will be available as a Prime add-on for the price of $19.99 a month. I would point out that that's what it's been available for the last 3 years of the price, or that is the identical price that the Cleveland Guardians are offering their TV service. But I'm not going to fight with people on the internet today.
Well, it's good news.
I'm just going to point out it is good news. It's way easier. I don't want to have to have a separate app.
People don't have to have a separate app if they don't want to download the FanDuel app, and they're able to just access it where most people already have Amazon Prime anyway. So they just add it to the additional, you know, package of their Amazon account where they already have their either monthly or yearly Amazon subscription coming out anyway. Now you have a $19.99 a month and you cancel it at the end of the baseball season. It's that simple.
I know people are pointing out that it means you pay $120 or whatever if you get it. Just skip the first few days and listen on 96.5 The Fan. Or, I'll just be honest with you, FanDuel TV has like most apps, a 7-day free trial. Try a 7-day free trial, then sign up and save the few days. There's lots of ways to skirt it to get it to the same number is the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why the Guardians offer the whole season for $99.99, which I'm guessing Amazon or FanDuel will do here in about a week.
Yes, we are streaming on video as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, you name it, you can watch the show there. Someone's asking if we have Cody and Gold commemorative cups. No, it's Wednesday. Jefferson's, it's lunch hour, right? Those are Jefferson's cups, our friends over at Jefferson's. And keep an eye on our Instagram account. Usually once a month or so, there's an opportunity to win a $250 gift card from Jefferson's, whether it's North KC or the Lenexa location. We'll tell you more about them in the lunch hour today. Perfect day maybe to grab some wings as well. Let's start, though, with college basketball. It's been a while since we led the show with college hoops, but it is time to do that because this Kansas basketball team this year, it is not like in the moment overreaction. No, this is the worst team I've seen in my life for Kansas. And you're like, oh, poor you. That's not what I'm saying.
It definitely is.
It is, though. I'm 34 years old. It's not even close. This is the worst Kansas basketball team I've ever seen. It's the most embarrassing Kansas basketball team that I've ever seen. Not just last night. That's what everybody's focused in on. But this has been going on for the last month plus now of Kansas basketball. For those that don't know, they got embarrassed last night in particular at BYU. It was never a contest. They fell down 8-0 early, and that was it. It was over. And they almost, once again,
never led in a game for the second time in the last like 10 days.
And they will be unranked, obviously. After next week's poll comes out, they'll be unranked for just the second week since 2009. They've been in the top 25 for 310 of the last 311 polls. It just tells you how bad things have gone. They're going to end up being the worst seed in the NCAA tournament in the Bill Self era. And I think what's even worse about this team and when the frustration, it's not just like, hey, they're not a good team, duh. It's that I truly question the effort in give a you-know-what from a lot of the guys on the team. And remember, this is a different era of college hoops. This is not like, oh, these are student athletes and, you know, you can't be as critical because they're 18-year-old kids. Some of them are making $1 million this year. So the way we analyze college basketball and college athletics and how we discuss player performance and effort is way different than it was 10 years ago.
If you get bad effort and you're being paid $1 million, we're allowed to question it.
And I feel like not just last night, but throughout there are some players that are happy cashing the check. Cashing the check, don't really care, have no real ties to the university anyway, know that they're going to bounce in the offseason and transfer somewhere else, and they look like that. They look like a team that's not connected. And when your head coach flat out says, basically, we need to get away from each other, like, hey, we just really don't get along. We're sick of each other. Quote, we need to get away from each other. I'll tell you that.
Point
blank said the trip did not go as planned. They were hoping this trip to Utah it's going to be a bonding trip, but it didn't turn out like that. That's what I always say when I go to Utah. I think it's going to be a great bonding trip.
Dude, this is exactly like the couple's like, we're going to try to go on a vacation and get back to who we are in the Caribbean islands this weekend. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, good luck. It really is a team that's not likable because of the effort level. Like, I'm not saying every single player. I think there's a few guys that truly do care and want to represent the university that have been there. There's a lot of guys that have, in their mind, no reason.
KJ is not one of them.
No reason. I actually think KJ Adams actually does care about Kansas. He's been there for a long time. So that's one of the few players I disagree with that, actually. But
he's played so terribly.
He's just not playing well. I don't think it's the effort level.
That's fine.
There's certain guys where they're just not playing good basketball. There's some guys that I think are just going through the motions and don't really care because they're happy they're getting their check. They wanted to be the dude. They're not getting the year numbers that they thought they were going to have. And so they're just saying, who cares? And that's what they look like. They look like a team that's not a team, and they have nobody that can create shots, and it's embarrassing. It's an absolute embarrassment right now. Frankly, to players that played there before, you saw on social media last night, Cody, Cole Aldrich and Mario Little, some of the past, you know, KU greats out there calling out. I mean, Cole Aldrich said, put in the managers. I mean, that's how embarrassing it was. They should have put in all the walk-ons last night in the second half.
I mean, yeah. Like, in the with 5 minutes to go in that game, why were there still regular players in the field at this point? I can't believe I've ever said this about a Kansas team under Bill Self. Teams in the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament are praying they're on their side of the bracket. Yep. Oh, please let us get so lucky as we're the, let's call it, let's be generous at the moment and say Kansas wins it. But we're the 10 seed and our draw is 7-seeded Kansas. Or we're the 8 seed and our 9 seed is Kansas. Please, I'm begging for that opportunity, is how teams are talking about them right now, because they're not just playing bad basketball. They have fallen apart. I still can't wrap my brain around it. I'm like, this team beat Duke at one point.
November was a long time ago.
And I get it, and Duke was a young team and got better, and Cooper Flagg got better, whatever, right? But like, they had enough talent on a basketball court that at one point this year, they were good enough to beat one of the 5 best teams in the country this year, and they can't even not get run out of the gym against BYU. They can't even like put up a fight against the team. They've quit. The team has quit. I don't know if they can find it again in the next, I don't know, 10 days. Seems unlikely. But they've straight up quit on this
3 weeks,
season.
But
but it's done. Like, they've
nobody should expect anything.
Mailed it in.
Nobody should expect anything from this group. I mean, how could you at this point in time? Kansas is now 3-7 in true road games this year. At home, they've had their issues, but at home, they're 16th in offensive like efficiency. On the road, Cody, they're 208th. Like, on the road, they just truly have nothing, absolutely nothing. And so I guess if you're trying to be the most optimistic person, you would say, well, at least the tournament games are neutral site games. Doesn't matter. This team, just the effort level sucks. And we'll see ultimately how the final, what is it, five games go from a seeding. Because that's really, like, are they going to be as bad as an 8 or 9 seed? Or are they going to still end up, after all this, being a 5 or 6? Remember, the worst seed ever for Bill Self coach team is 4. So they're already going to be like, they're
worse than that, no matter what. Unless they win every game the rest of the way and win the entire Big 12 tournament.
Even then, Cody, I think they're like a 4. Or I mean, a 5. I mean, sorry.
Yeah,
I think best case scenario is a 5 at this point. Like, that's if everything went great. And worst case scenario is they fall all the way down to like an 8 seed. This notion of like they're not making the tournament or question, like, come on, guys. They're bad and it's frustrating. The idea, like, that they're not making the tournament is ludicrous. That's crazy. I don't expect them to do anything in the tournament, but the idea that they're not making it is crazy.
I don't expect them to win a single game.
No, I mean, look, they've had way better teams that have lost in the first weekend anyway, or the first game before, let alone this team. So it's all matchup driven. Who knows? Basketball is very weird. When everybody will predict them to lose, they'll win a freaking game out of nowhere or something. But no, there's no reason you should have confidence in this bunch when your head coach is out there saying things like this as well.
The thing about, we need to regroup, you know, get away from each other for a day and go home and hopefully be able to, you know, a lot of times with teams, there needs to be something happen to pull everybody together that is us against the outside. And, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to do that for sure. So a lot of teams go through it. We just haven't been through it much at all in a long time. But certainly we're going to go through it this time. So all we have of each other, and we're going to have to be strong for each other and be good teammates, good leaders, and understand that, you know, if we need to look in the mirror, all of us, and what can we do to change the momentum, and then whatever we commit to doing, then do it. And tonight we were 1 foot in, 1 foot out, in how we guarded and a lot of other things right from the jump. I mean, it was crystal clear how we wanted to try to guard them, and right from the jump, we doubted it and ended up hurting ourselves right there early.
So that was Self in Utah, Provo, Utah, last night after the blowout loss to BYU.
It was a long flight.
I mean, a lot of this, of course, is on him. I mean, the team you assembled clearly were the wrong pieces. Like, you got to have the right puzzle pieces. They don't have that. It's not like they didn't get the top guys. Like, that's where I'll push back on this notion of, like, yeah, is NIL a cause of this? To a certain degree, yes. The idea, though, that, like, everybody has the same amount of money and now they can't get the good players, that I call BS. Like, that's the easy thing, and I get it. Like, just like when the Chiefs lost, people want to pounce on the team that's been running the show for, in this case, 25 years locally. But when you think about their issues, it's not because they haven't got the top guys. They're still getting the top guys.
So they're the wrong guys.
So it's like,
you don't need to get the top guys. Yeah, doesn't actually.
Exactly.
Just by you going and getting Hunter Dickinson or AJ Storr or Zeke Mayo.
But it's not like you can say, like, oh, now that there's NIL, they're not getting the top guys. They're getting the top guys. They're getting the wrong guys. And Bill Self is better at developing guys through his program. And that's not where college basketball is at in 2025. I still wonder, though, and it's not how teams are operating in 2025. So maybe this is just not possible. If you have a coach that is good at developing players the way he is, that's been what he's done, and you clearly are struggling with finding even if you get the top guy in the portal, how that plugs in and you coaching them up, that struggles. One, you haven't adapted. You got to adapt to the player that is today's present day college athlete, which is the guy that's getting $500,000. So, you know, the effort level, like, of real, like, your motivational tactics don't work the same way. So can you not, you have the resources at Kansas to retain talent. Can you not take the longer term approach to a certain extent and tried to go back to developing the high school guy? And I know that's not what everybody's doing, but if in other programs you're worried you develop a player, well, he's going to transfer because he's going to get a ton of money somewhere else. You have the resources to retain that talent at Kansas. Why not go back to that approach if I'm Self? Because this is not working.
So he's had pretty much, I think that this season is kind of a culmination of what ends up being 3 straight years of not having a good off season, right? They don't call it that in basketball, but a bad off season, right? Where, go through the list. Go through all the people he's brought in. I don't care if you want to bring up Timberlake from last year or Rylan Griffin or AJ Storr, the guys you mentioned. And in previous teams, I think part of what happened in this year is, like, he thought that they could just return the two starts, DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams, and be like, you know what? If we just build a team around those two guys, being back, that'll work. That's a system that works. I feel like,
and Hunter Dickinson too.
Yeah, and it blew up in his face. The fact that you could just be like, what if we just changed all the pieces around those three guys? They're not the problem. Clearly, they're part of the problem. Well, and the team building around that has been kind of a mess. I can't think of the last time, you know, somebody asked me, when's the last time you knew for sure, let's say March 1st or February 19th, today's date, that Missouri definitively had a better team than Kansas? I mean, like, there's not even a question. No one's coming on this show and making the argument for there's no debate. Probably since those, like, when they were, like, both top five teams or whatever. And even then, there was an argument for which team was better. I can't think of the last time it's been this lopsided in that rivalry.
Well, this is something I think that, you know, Bill Self over the course of the NIL stuff is kind of learning how to go about stuff where
he might just quit because of this.
I actually thought about that this morning, and not that he would do it, but I thought that could be something he does. But I think to the extent of what you guys are talking about, just getting the best players and just putting them together, it's very, very, very difficult for that to actually happen and for it to work out in a positive way where, hey, maybe you don't go get AJ Store. Maybe you don't go and get the best player in the portal. But you, like, Zeke Mayo has been the best, obviously, the best portal addition that they had. Get a guy from a smaller school who you feel like you might be able to develop, has some local ties. If you're a good coach at developing those players, I think those coaches are better off in a way going and finding, hey, this guy was really good at Colgate. He's effective. He can provide something to our team that has an identity. He doesn't have an ego. I can coach him up. And all of a sudden, he turns him into a really good player where he's not giving you 15 or 20, but he gives you a solid 10, which they only have two players that are averaging over 10 points a game or 10-plus points at the moment. That would give you something. If you're a good developmental coach, then find somebody that's in a mid-major that you can develop, and he's not going to have the ego of a guy that you have to pay $1.2 million or however the hell much AJ Store got paid.
Go back to leaning heavily on high school again is, I think, what you have to. And I know that's not where college basketball.
It doesn't have to just be high school.
No,
yes.
I'm not saying all five have to be high school guys. But I think you have to go heavier in that. What you said about Zeke Mayo, I think, goes back to the original start of this conversation. Then we'll move on and get back to this a little bit later. But is Zeke Mayo, not only did he go to a smaller school, Drew, but he had ties to Kansas and Lawrence. He cares. Like, and it's evident. It does matter. Like, I know, like, oh, no, it matters. Like, do you actually care to rep the team you are playing for and the school you're playing for? Having some pride. It's like all like cliche stuff, but it's this team has shown why that matters. And there's a lot of guys on that team that don't look like they give a rip.
No, they look like they do not. They just want the season to be over. And I guess that probably goes back to, like, when I asked the question about, how did they beat a team like Duke? Well, I thought 2/3 of the team probably then cared to try. And I'm just like,
it was early in the season.
How did Bill lose a whole team, though? Like, the amount of effort they gave after getting down 8-0 last night. I mean, miserable. This isn't just about, like, you got outplayed. They, last night, were not trying anymore. They stopped making an effort in that basketball
game. It could be anything from minutes, Cody, to whatever it is. Because, and I think, too, not to say that AJ Store was a bad guy to get in the transfer, but that Kansas is his third team in college. It's not like he's been around the block. He was at St. John's, and he went to Wisconsin. Now he's at Kansas.
He can be somewhere. He's about to be 4-for-4.
Those players who bounce around, maybe you just straight up avoid them no matter how good they looked the previous season.
We'll get back to this a little bit later on in the show. Reminder coming up here in about 15 minutes, JJ Bacolo, the executive vice president, Royals general manager, going to join us from sunny and warm Surprise, jealous, Arizona. We'll talk about his own extension that he got, plus Cole Reagan's and a few other things with MJ Melendez switching up his batting style, how that came to be. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Let's pivot to the Chiefs, though, briefly. And this offseason, league year doesn't start till the middle of March, but we all know a lot of the decisions are already being made as we speak, just in terms of how they think they're going to go with potential negotiations. And we can talk about tampering windows, but a lot of these teams have a good idea of their plan. I mean, they'll execute the plan, but they've got their plan A, B, C, D already kind of laying out, and they know moving forward. Do the Chiefs need to go out and target a number one weapon in the offense? Because I want them to go get a more explosive back in the draft, and I would still like them to bring back Hollywood Brown or go get another receiver, but do they already have their number one offensive weapon next year? Like, right now, does that already exist?
It can't be Kelce.
Agreed.
Honest to God, whether he retires or comes back.
Well, it wasn't the plan this year for him to be that.
No, it can no longer be Travis Kelce. I think it matters even more if he retires, because then you don't even have... If he doesn't retire, the answer to me is no. The answer is, even if everyone's a two, that's a hell of a group of twos. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Travis Kelce, I don't need a one. If those are the top three available pass-catching options in my offense, I'm good. I don't need like a true definitive, you know, like we were joking, like I don't care if it's Puka Nacua or Justin Jefferson. It's not that I don't. It's not like I turned down Justin Jefferson. But need, right? The way that we would place it about that, it's very different. If he retires, I run into a problem where I start leaning more towards yes. Because Rashee Rice is not only coming off a major injury, in which I thought he would have been the Chiefs' number one option going in there, I also can't be guaranteed he plays, that he doesn't miss 4 or 8 games. I think Xavier Worthy's really good. I think Xavier Worthy is a lot like Devonta Smith, as we had mentioned, halfway through the year, a quarter of the way into the year, which is like one of the better, the upper end number twos. But if you don't have Rashee Rice for half the season and Xavier Worthy is just like a really solid two, and now there's no Travis Kelce in the mix, my answer to that becomes yes. And then in the draft, you should start be targeting guys who could be number one wide receivers, or you should be more aggressive in the market for guys who might be available. Like we talk about this all the time, there's really good wide receivers available via trade every year now in the NFL. And I'm not saying you want to give up all your assets.
I don't want to trade first.
But I would say you have got to be more aggressive if Travis Kelce retires. If he doesn't, I think you're fine.
Travis, either way, as you alluded to, he was not supposed to be the number one option this year. Then Rashee Rice got hurt, and then his targets went way up, and then his yards per catch went down to 8 yards. It's the lowest of his career and everything like that. So I think it's pretty evident already that that's not what he should be or is at this point in his career, unfortunately. And I think that's also part of the decision-making process for whether or not he retires or not. Like, is he okay being the second, third option in an offense? I think he is, because I would argue he kind of knew that was trending in that direction this year before the Rice injury. As far as like going out and getting a number one, I'll tell you this, I don't want them trading for giving up draft capital to go trade for a number one option.
I'm out on that.
The idea of going getting a number one, if Rice wasn't going to be suspended, then my answer to you is no. I think it's funny when we phrase draft conversations like they need to go draft a number one, as if when they draft a receiver in the first round, they don't think he's going to be a number one. Like,
when you take Xavier Worthy at 21, you think he's a number one. That's why I'm asking. Do you think he can be a one, or is he capped out at 1,000-yard guy?
Yeah. So look, I think his peak is a 1,200-yard guy, and that'd be a really nice career, really, really nice career for Xavier Worthy. Rashee Rice, you know, assuming he's healthy and when he gets back in playing, before everything went down, we thought there was a chance he could eventually be a 1,400 plus yard receiver for this offense. He's still the answer. Like, who's the number one? Rashee Rice is still the answer. The problem is he might be missing 6 or 8 games.
Can you survive 8 games with Xavier Worthy as your one?
I think so. Now, this also is me saying, I want
Travis Kelce. Woo!
Well, I want them bringing back Hollywood Brown on a 1-year deal. I want them drafting a more explosive running back. Noah Gray is your tight end. A lot of teams, by the way, have Noah Gray type tight ends on their roster. Like, to answer your question, I think so. If you also tell me that they shored up their offensive line, like you can't not have a number one truly on offense, and you still have the O-line issue. Well, then you're just a bad football team.
I was okay with it last year, but I was lukewarm for the injury concerns. I mean, that's just gotten worse. I'm even less interested than I was a year ago in Hollywood Brown. He can't get on a football field.
If I told you you could bring him back on 1 year, same deal. 1 year, seven, incentives bump it to 10. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. But it's just like, I'm not moved by it.
In terms of needs, though, let's say Travis retires. How high is that on your list of needs? Because, like,
tight end?
Yeah, no. I'm just talking about a number one weapon, whether it be tight end or whether it be number one wide receiver.
I think they already have him, but yeah, it's high.
I agree that Rashee, I think, is the guy, but is it above left tackle? Is it above defensive line depth? Is it above linebacker?
Their number one offseason concern and thing they have to fix, not even a question to me, is left tackle after having 5 years of a different left tackle. I mean, it's whether it's the option we all want it to be, I don't know. Whether it's Ronnie Stanley, whether it's drafting somebody, whether it's moving somebody on the existing offensive line out to left tackle, like, those are all scenarios can be discussed. One way or the other, they are going in with a plan in their mind to fix the left tackle solution. That has to be priority number one.
Because beyond just the need itself, by getting a number one weapon, I think like you guys had said, they're not going to go trade for somebody or sign somebody in all likelihood who's a number one option. You're drafting him. If you want a number one guy, you're drafting him in the first round. So you either have your left tackle position solved, or you are passing on defensive line. You're passing on some of those other things where even if Kelce does retire, would you rather be set up where you're better off after 6 weeks, but team-wise you're not as good, or not drafting a wide receiver in the first round and then making sure that you're set up as an entire picture for that entire stretch after she comes back from suspension?
Yeah, I mean, I know you got to look at it in a way that'd be like, we are who we are when Rasheed comes back. But it's like, I also don't want to just dismiss the fact that we think we know what Rasheed Rice was going to be, right? We've imagined a picture. We saw a year in which he was their number one wide receiver target, but Travis Kelce was still the number one guy, where he was pretty effective, right? He had a nice year. He started the year last year looking pretty good. So, like, all I have is a complete incomplete picture on Rasheed Rice. We all kind of think he's going to be a number one guy because of the way he looked at the beginning of last season. The year before, he wasn't, and this year he was hurt. And now he's coming back from an injury. And so, like, there are more unknowns than just pencil Rice in as the number one. Problem solved. That's why it's like, if all of them are together, I worry less. If it's Kelce and Rice and Worthy, I feel like they can share the workload in a way where somebody doesn't have to emerge as the number one weapon.
I hear you.
I
would say, and this is, look, if I hope Travis Kelce comes back, and I think if he does, they'll rework the deal where it's not at a $19 million cap hit.
Agreed.
That to me would be a little problematic. But if we're being honest about just the statistical aspect of it, not like the leadership quality and all that, it can't even be questioned what Travis Kelce has meant to the organization. I'm talking from stats. Like, if you're telling me like their offense can't find somebody that can put up similar numbers to Travis Kelce at this point in his career, I will push back and say I can find somebody else that averages 8 yards a catch. I can with that kind of volume that he got this past year. That's just the reality of where he's at in his career. This is not saying he's not the greatest tight end of all time, but in 2025, the reality is I am not as concerned as maybe you are of like, can they replace that production? 8 yards a catch, man, is not hard to find from a tight end. It's not. Like, no great can give me 7 or 8 yards a catch.
Yeah, but I guess it's not. Like, that's not the only stat I'm going to hang my hat on this year. I think that's more just indicative of how unfun the offense is. And that, you know, because by that same argument, you'd be like, well, I can find another quarterback with an average depth of target more than -7 yards or whatever.
Yeah,
the hell
one
Patrick
guy's
Holmes.
Not at the end of his career, though. I hear
no,
you.
No, I understand. But, like, I don't think that's the only thing that's telling the story on Pat. You know, because I could say, well, Travis Kelce, even in a down year, was the third highest tight end in receiving yardage this year, right? I mean, there's still, you can't just walk on the street and find that
volume,
level of production.
Volume fed. Look at the targets.
Sure. No, I'm not saying the targets aren't a portion of the conversation, but I think that the yards per catch is related to how bad their offense is. Not him. Not him as a player. I don't think that that's telling the whole story in a lot of ways. And so it just kind of depends. It depends on, he's a big swing guy for me and whether or not I think they got to be more aggressive in the higher end part of the draft for wide receiver.
All right, coming up next, guys, let's get to the Royals. The surprise Arizona spring training underway. JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager, is going to call on the show, ask him about his own extension and how does he feel about the roster right now. There's a lot of people wondering, like, is this the opening day? Like, this is the opening day roster? We'll find out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, next. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we teased it yesterday towards the end of the show. Something I came across on social media over the weekend, and it crossed the line finally. And I went down a rabbit hole, and I think we caught someone just being complete phony and a fraud. And it's I'm laughing because it got to a point where it was so ridiculous. We're going to tell you about that. I promise it's worth the wait. In about 15 minutes or so. But I do want to welcome in the general manager and the executive vice president of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, who joins us from nice and warm, sunny Surprise, Arizona. I definitely am jealous of the weather you guys are enjoying there, as I'm sure you're well aware of how miserable it is here in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. a lot of pictures have been sent our way, and you feel a little guilty looking outside the window and watching the sunrise over the mountains here. But nice to be here.
I bet. Absolutely. Well, first of all, congrats on the extension for you. You think about when you started, JJ, and now where you guys are at as an organization and now where maybe even you individually are at just in this role and as the executive vice president and Royals general manager. Did you have a chance, I guess, after signing that extension to step back for just a little bit and just kind of think about where this began?
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of reflect on where we started and how we've gotten to where we are right now. And that's just not over the last couple of years. For me, it's over 19 years. It's been a long time that I've been in Kansas City. It's my home. I love living in Kansas City. I love the community. And, you know, you think about the ups and the downs, and that's what this is all about. You got to, you know, develop some toughness and thick skin and deal with adversity. But you know, over the last 2 years, I'm just really, really proud that the work that all of our departments have done is starting to pay off, and we're starting to move in the right direction. And last year was a great indication of, you know, how we've evolved as an organization and all the different people that are responsible for any success that we have.
Sometimes, like when I sign a new contract, we're in contracts and radio, JJ, I like buy myself like a bottle of bourbon or something. You do that? You buy yourself like a little treat for getting a new contract?
No, I to be honest with you, in some ways I wish we just, you know, kept private, but I understand the nature of it. And, you know, it's just, again, it's a reflection of work everybody's done. So I'm not going to spoil myself on anything.
You could spoil them, you know, buy yourself, you know, have something catered in, you know?
Yeah. Well, we do things along the way. There's no doubt. We'll do things like that.
That wasn't the only extension, though. You guys were busy in the last couple of days. Cole Reagans gets an extension. You guys buy out a couple years there of arbitration for him. How did this thing come together? Because I think a lot of fans look at this and say, wow, this is a great deal for your guys' organization.
Yeah, I read some of the comments, and I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding of where Cole is in his career. You know, he's not a free agent. So, you know, he's got four more seasons before he becomes a free agent. So, you know, Scott Sharp and I, you know, had discussed this throughout the offseason, obviously spoke to Mr. Sherman about it. And, you know, we decided that the time was right. Cole's here in Surprise. And really, things like this are pretty simple. When you go to a player with a concept, and there's nothing urgent about it, you know, the player can make a choice that he'll go year to year and go into arbitration and just take that route. Or if there's interest in not worrying about arbitration and let's secure a few years, there's guaranteed money. There's a little bit of risk on the team side, and then there's a little bit of risk on the player side that he could potentially make more money through arbitration. So this is really a decision that is driven by the player, what his desires are. And, you know, really came together pretty quickly. I'd say within 48 hours from the time we discussed the concept with Cole's representation, until they got back to us, and within 48 hours, Cole's signing a nice little extension. So it's great. Cole's worked hard to get to where he is. We all know about the adversity he's dealt with some injuries. So I like to think that this is going to give him peace of mind to just go compete and worry about baseball. So really happy for him. He's a wonderful person.
I know the regime you were a part of before, obviously under Dayton, was a big believer of stay out of arbitration, where you sit in these meetings and essentially badmouth each other in a lot of ways. I know it didn't exactly work that way, but it can turn into that. JJ, are you kind of a believer of if we can avoid it, it's for the best?
That's the preference, without question. I think every club would tell you that. Nobody wants to go into a hearing. I think that's consistent between the player's side and the team side. It's part of our business, so you do your best to come to an agreement before you go into a hearing. And, you know, over the years, we've been very successful. We've avoided, you know, a majority, large majority of the hearings. And it can be uncomfortable, and you don't want tension between the player and the club. We are on the same team, you know, but players have a window to earn money. They're different than the rest of the population. The rest of the population, usually as they get older, make more money. They're going to make a large portion of their life earnings, you know, in a 6 to 10 year period. So it is important that they make good decisions, because that's their security for the rest of their lives. So it's a tough process. And yes, to answer your question, we do try to avoid it to the best of our ability.
We saw the story over at MLB.com talking about one of your players, MJ Melendez, says he's switching up his batting style once again. So we're changing a little bit some of the way he approaches about it. Did you guys bring it up with MJ Melendez? Did he kind of go into the offseason thinking he wanted to do that himself? Just how did you guys decide MJ should go through some swing changes?
Yeah, well, it's been an ongoing discussion for several years, and MJ's had enough success to, you know, continue to do what he was doing. And then last year was a really tough year for him on a lot of fronts. And I think he came to the realization that this is the time to make the change. And we were very happy with it. He looks good. I mean, what he's doing right now is exactly what he set out to do in the offseason. Now he's starting to face more pitching, because that's always the challenge. You train in the offseason, you don't face live pitching, you know, at all or very little. And now you got to face pitchers that are throwing 95 to 100. You're getting changeups, you're getting breaking balls, and you have the discipline to stay with that approach and go through the growing pains that he will go through, because the natural reaction for any player is to revert back to what you are most comfortable with. So he's in a phase right now that he is comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's a good thing, and that's what spring training is for. It'll give him a good window here, a solid 4.5-5 weeks of games to continue to work at this. And obviously our hope is he grows comfortable with it, because we believe in what he's doing. And we give him a lot of credit for working so hard this offseason to make that change. And now, you know, time will tell if that's the right thing for him to do as a player and he had success as a hitter.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Executive Vice President here on 96.5 The Fan. This might be even more of a question for Q, but in the early portion, I know it's very early in spring training, games haven't even started yet or anything, but it looks like you guys have had, you know, Jonathan India working a little bit in the outfield, and maybe at some point you'll have Michael Massey also work in the outfield. Is the plan here in the early going just to kind of move some of these guys around, get them some reps in the outfield as well as, you know, at second base?
Yeah, it is. Michael is going to work at second base and left field. Jonathan's going to work a lot at third base and left field because he played third base in college, but it's been a number of years since he's been over there. So we know he can go over to second base and play second base. So he'll do some work there. The real challenge with all of this is the planning and the workload and the, you know, monitoring how many throws they make. So Q did a great job with Jose Agassiz and Damon Hollins, our infield and outfield coaches, and coming up with a plan of how can we do this where we're getting good work in and we're able to do it in chunks and not have them do too much throwing and bouncing all over the field where they're actually getting fatigued and the workload goes up too high. So the plan is pretty simple. It's Jonathan started out. He's going to go 3 days in the outfield with his work and his drill work, and Michael's in the infield. The next set of 3 days, they're going to flip. Michael will go to the outfield, do his work, and Jonathan will come to the infield. And I think we'll be able to manage it. And then, obviously, you get into the games, and, you know, at some point we have to make some sort of evaluation of what we think is best for the team. And the best thing about all this is both guys are very open to doing what's best for the team. That's the theme we keep hearing, the words we keep hearing. And when you have guys that think that way, the team's going to benefit.
Is there, I mean, other than opening day, like, is there a time in this next month where you feel like you will have to kind of solidify that? Is there a certain point?
Well, I think when we get to the end of spring training, we have to have a plan going into the regular season, but that doesn't mean that plan won't change throughout the course of the year. We're going to continue to evaluate, just like we do every other player on the field, to do what's right for the team to give us the best chance to win every single night. So whatever we start the year with might change, you know, come June 1st or whatever it may be. So it's just, you know, open discussion, honest feedback from the player, observation, you know, from our evaluators, coaches, and we'll make the best decision. You know, it just may take some time to get to what our team will look like come October. You know, at that point, it may look completely different than what it looked like on opening day.
I know that this seems like an oversimplification based on the year he just had, but it's fair to ask with players of his magnitude, can Bobby Witt Jr. get better? Is this if he's just this forever, obviously nobody's going to complain, JJ, but do you see growth in his game this year?
Yeah, I think Bobby's one of those guys that, you know, I've got to stop saying this. Last year I was saying he's just scratching the surface. Well, he broke through the surface last year. It was just incredible. But I do think Bobby will continue to get better. I mean, his at-bats are going to continue to get better. His defense is going to continue to get better. His base running is going to continue to get better. And when you think about those things, particularly with offense, it's the processes that they go through and the experience that they gain in batter's box. You know, they're going to be in a different mindset. He's already advanced in the way he thinks about hitting. But when he's 30 years old, he's going to be far more advanced than where he is at his age today. So he'll continue to get better. You just don't know, the numbers. I don't know how much better they can get. But I think the processes will change. It'll allow him to remain consistent throughout his career.
There was some quotes from Surprise. I think it was yesterday, and Bobby was asked about Jack Caglione, who's obviously with you guys there in Surprise. He's very complimentary of him already and just kind of how he's handling himself. What have you seen from Jack already?
Humility. I mean, that's the word that comes to mind right away, and it goes back to a first-year player orientation that we had in Kansas City about 3 weeks ago. I'm looking around the room, and he's the highest-profile player in the room. I think he took more notes than anybody else in that room. I mean, every guest speaker we had, every presentation, he had his head down taking notes, and that's a great sign of how much desire he has to be great. And he also has this humility about him, that he understands he was the first round pick last year, but he's not being presumptuous in the way he carries himself in the locker room. I've heard him say several times about how he wants to pick Vinny's brain and learn from Vinny. So it's just a sign of a very mature player that knows he's not a major league player just yet, but has a great desire to be a major league player and be a good one.
I know that, like, this sounds like cliche, but, like, some players do have a different desire to be great. How do you kind of sense that early on out of a prospect, and how does that change the way you guys handle them when it seems like their effort, their workload, whatever, they just, like, participate differently?
Yeah, they work smart. They're efficient. They ask questions. They're constantly trying to get better in different ways, whether it's their pregame preparation, their in-game successes. They have ways of non-verbally showing us that this player just soaks it all in and wants to work his tail off to I'll say be a Hall of Famer. I mean, every player that gets to the major league, that should be their long-term goal. Obviously, very few get to that point. But when you see guys work and the way they pay attention, the way they ask questions, it's a great indication of what their desire is to be a great player.
This is a player we get asked a lot about, JJ. I get a couple more questions in here with Royals General Manager JJ Piccolo and Executive Vice President Kyle Wright. Where do you guys kind of see his progression from last year? You guys obviously had a long-term plan for him. People are always looking for new rotation arms or possibilities there. Where's he at?
Yeah, we're optimistic that he's going to be able to help us. He did have a minor setback with a small hamstring strain the other day, throwing a side session, which I really hated for him, because he sees the light at the end of the tunnel as bullpens continue to get better. The velocity, the command, the secondary pitches were getting better through his bullpens. So he was really excited about where he was. He had a really good side session about 5 days ago, and then 3 days later, he has a side session, his hamstring grabs on him. So that's going to slow him up a little bit. Fortunately, it's a low-grade strain, but we're going to have to give it a little bit of time. We'll be able to keep his arm moving, but the mound work's going to have to take a backseat. So it's going to take a little bit more time than we thought, but we're still optimistic. We're going to get some innings out of him this year, and he'll get his career back on track.
While we're talking about some pitchers and maybe some injuries and things they're dealing with, what about Alec Marsh? I think it was about a week ago maybe at this point where we learned that he was dealing with some shoulder tightness. How's he progressing already?
No, he's progressing well. He's exactly where we hoped he would be when he was first diagnosed with that soreness. But one of the things we've got to be careful, as much as we want Alec ready for opening day, it's a long season. And if we try to force a guy back into action too quickly, now he's either going to get re-injured or he's just going to be constantly dealing with something that we could put to rest early. So we're going to be cautious with him. Well, our hope is he's up to 3 innings by the end of spring training. It looks like that's where he'll be. Of course, if that's the case, at that point, we got to make a decision. Is he in the bullpen? Can we start him if he's only going 3 innings, or does he need more time being in the minor leagues just to continue that buildup? But, we'd much rather have something like that happen, in January like it did, than in April, May, or, any month during the season. So he's in a good spot. He's making good progress, and, we expect him to be out on the mound here in spring training games not too long from now, and to get to 3 innings by the end.
JJ Piccolo, Executive Vice President, Royals General Manager, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Good to catch up with you. Enjoy the start of spring training, and we'll talk in a couple weeks.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
There
Thanks
you go.
For the time.
Absolutely. There you go. That's JJ Piccolo. Good to catch up on how things are going in Surprise. First game this Friday, 2:00, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Actual baseball. Yeah. It'll make it feel a little warmer, and warmer weather coming next week. Yeah. I do think, this goes back to them not signing an outfielder. It's both we all wanted them to sign a corner outfielder, and there's too many guys for too many spots, right? So, India and Massey are working in the outfield, and now we're like, wait, did MJ fix some of his swing problems? When does he play, if that's the case? And if India's at third, well, then when does Garcia play? Or, it feels like it's going to be a lot more, even more than
moving
last
around.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody at different spots, constantly and then, moving rotation.
Especially
stuff.
Early on in the year, and, when they're in June or July, maybe it becomes very obvious who should be playing. Some of that just sorts itself out.
It does.
And we all know they'll injuries happen too. So some of it just gets sorted out naturally by that. You hope everybody stays healthy during spring training so that you're not worrying about that. But yeah, it'll be interesting just to see, you know, how they balance it. And at least during spring, as we learned from JJ there, I mean, both Jonathan India and Michael Massey are going to spend, you know, half the week working in the outfield to kind of just see where it's at. And just because it's how they play opening day, sounds like they're obviously willing to pivot off of that during the season if all of a sudden something changes with those guys. Thanks to JJ Piccolo for joining us. Vern's Hot,
Hot Stove.
I was about to say On Deck Show. That's not yet, but Hot Stove Show. his On Deck Show will be here before we know it, but his Hot Stove Show is tonight. He's also going to join us each and every day throughout spring training. So Vern will join us around 12:45 today. We'll catch up with him from sunny Surprise, Arizona. All right, we teased something
yesterday.
Towards the end of the show yesterday. And I'll leave the name out for now. It might have to come up at some point. So
let's give him a fake name for now. Would that be okay? Just so we can discuss him, you know, like, let's just call him Steve.
So Steve, okay, you guys don't know who this person is. There's no reason you should. This was more of like something off air we had talked about for a while. Basically, somebody that hosts like one of these podcasts and online shows that's in the media, goes to the Super Bowl fairly often, goes to a lot of events, has been at Arrowhead Press Box before, things like this. And it was down at Super Bowl and we were looking and like guest list was pretty impressive and all this kind of stuff. Like, man, he's getting credentialed, a lot of stuff. Okay, good for him. He added me on Facebook like 2 years ago. I've never met the guy, full disclosure. Bob, whatever we're calling this
Steve.
Guy. Steve Bob. And so we noticed like there was some other stuff that just was like from even Super Bowl week was just like, okay, not
like they gave me the number one table because I'm the number one podcast in the world.
That's honestly what convincing people that he got the number one table because of that, or he had a Nike pullover with his show logo and he said it's because thanks to Nike for sending me this, as if Nike like selected him. Anyway, little stuff that none of you care about. Okay, but then it crossed the line
because we're like, small lies, we'll let him
on
live.
Monday. We all know the awful plane crash in Toronto, right? The Delta Airlines flight that was going from Minnesota to Toronto and the scary landing. We've all seen the photos and stuff by now, right? The plane flips upside down on fire. Fortunately, nobody, I believe at last check still, had some critical injury, but nobody's passed away. Thank goodness. 80 people were on board the flight. Okay, so that happens. So this same person posts, traveling to Minneapolis from Toronto, I'm all right. Crosswinds were strong and sounds like everyone is okay with just minor injuries. And it's a photo of the plane right
upside
there.
Down.
The problem with a couple things. One, the status is traveling to Minneapolis from Toronto. Again, the flight was going from Minnesota to Toronto. So that's the first red flag. The other one is the photo is the same photo that like every news outlet was using. And so I was very skeptical because
you're already skeptical because of all the other stuff. Small lies.
So
all
these people are commenting like, oh my gosh, so glad you're okay. Like, obviously you're in a plane crash. Like, thank goodness you're alive.
His co-host sends a...
Well, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That was later.
Not yet. So I comment and I was like, so glad you're okay. Everyone's stealing your photo because I was skeptical. All right.
So you're casting a little doubt into the comments.
5 minutes later, he deletes the whole post. The whole post is gone. I'm like, oh, well, this is clearly phony. Then, yes, later on,
his co-host posts a message that says, just talk to Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds shaken up, but
he's okay.
He's okay.
More details to follow. With a different photo from the plane crash, but it's also another heavily circulated photo.
It's important to note that later that post was also deleted.
After somebody else commented, you sure? I think he's actually in, somewhere else in Minnesota. That post gets deleted. So then we're like, well, this whole thing you just made up being in a plane crash. Then we did some digging.
This guy's one of the single biggest frauds I've ever seen.
Then we did some digging. This individual made a fake page on, there's like a site called like, is it Millions or
Millions,
something?
Where you can like book a celebrity, you know, if you want Charles Amenihue to do stuff, kind of like Cameo, but like maybe more event-based stuff.
So if you search Steve's name, and
type up Steve Bob.
His name and photo come up, and this is not the name he uses, but either way, it still applies. It says, Steve Blank is a former NFL defensive end who played for the Kansas City Chiefs and Cleveland Browns. During his 6-year career, Blank recorded 112 tackles, 11.5 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles. He was known for his speed and strength on the field, earning him the nickname.
You can't say the nickname because it gives away the real name.
In 2001.
A fake nickname, doesn't matter.
In 2001, blank Steve had his best season as a pro with the Chiefs, recording 6 sacks, 30 tackles, and 2 forced fumbles. He helped the team reach the playoffs that year. Off the field, Steve has been active in the NFL Alumni Association, is also a motivational speaker. He's a true example of a dedicated athlete, both on and off the field. His passion for the sport and hard work made him one of the best NFL defensive ends of his time.
To be clear, 11 sacks would make you one of the best defensive ends of your time.
Steve is a true NFL legend and an inspiration to many. All right.
First.
So this guy must send that link to places to get credentialed and to get whatever else. He's a complete phony. Not to mention when he was in the Super Bowl, he also posted videos of being at Caesar's Casino, and it was a video of the cashier counting out about $7,000. And my theory now that everything is so fake is that he literally bought in with chips
and then had him
got chips and then went back to the counter just so he could record a video and show everybody acting like he won money.
I mean, of course, that's what happened here.
He's a phony.
He claimed, by the way, just to be clear, just to like, I didn't just assume, be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to give Steve a little bit of a tiny bit of leeway here. And they clearly made up being on that plane crash, which is a wild.
You got to be sick.
I mean, truly wild.
You
got
to be sick
to
make up being in a plane crash.
Do you think that Steve has a Pro Football Focus page? Of course not. Do you think that the stats from the 2001 Chiefs have anyone with that name
he wasn't
who
lined
recorded
up.
Six sacks during that season or any season anywhere in a five-year window? Absolutely not.
I went on ahead and I looked at Pro Football Reference, which is rarely wrong. Yeah. It records about every single thing in football history, and this person's name, Steve's name, is not on the list.
There is no Steve on there next to Eric Hicks and Dwayne Clemens or whatever.
This
is what we don't
by
know.
By the sound of it sounds like he duped his co-host as well.
I think so. I think his co-host is duped as well because he said he spoke on the phone and he was shaken up. So I think this is a complete fraud and phony. Like, I've watched you guys have maybe seen the show American Greed about Ponzi schemes on the History Channel. Now, this, I don't think he's technically doing anything illegal, but it's all the same thing. It's like just being a con man and
don't
phony
make a big
and
a plane crash. We can verify that. Gold actually tried to verify that. He actually emailed Delta and asked if they can confirm that Steve was on the plane. Not anybody.
They
he emailed
back.
Delta. They said that they do not release passenger information for privacy reasons. But Gold did try to confirm whether or not that person with that name was on the flight.
I think not only is it egregious to pretend like you were on that crash, but also to fake a phone call, essentially, where you sound shaken up as if you were on said plane crash,
therapy.
Is gross.
Like, you got to be sick. Like, it's one, like the other stuff, like the faking things to get credentials, like, is frowned upon, but like, I don't expect you guys to care about that. That's more of us people in the media that might care. But when you're lying about being on a serious plane crash for sympathy, like, that's terrible. But we found the Chiefs thing because of the plane crash part of it, but the Chiefs page acting like this guy must be like 5'9". I mean, give me a break, dude. You didn't play defensive end for the Chiefs. People are wanting us to.
Think about it. We'll take your vote. 913-586-7965. We'll talk about this a little bit later in the show because there's even more than we've revealed now. Mm-hmm. Tell us whether or not you think that Steve deserves
more
to have his real name put out there.
I don't know if I know anything.
We can
more
dive deeper into
it's going to be news to me.
There's
all
even
right
more small lies to get into that let us down the path of
Steve Bob.
Steve.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it's nobody, like, someone says, why can't we say his name?
Out of discretion, you know.
Really, it's like, I'm trying to be a decent person for not putting this entire lie out on blast.
Although, man, this guy.
But he has it coming. I don't, you know, like, you know, what do we do?
And all the posts have been deleted, and there's been no follow-up to any of it, like, apology, my mistake, or anything.
I wasn't trying to make it seem like I was on the plane, even though I was.
Out of curiosity. Have they come out with a podcast since this moment? Because I wonder if the co-host is like, look, dude, I'm not doing anything with you ever again. I'm out.
There's no mistake, because this is like one small thing, and I know we got to take a break.
Yeah.
In the comments, someone said, oh, man, so sorry. Hope you're safe. And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And, you know, like,
Too calm.
Yeah, he just like, you know, he didn't. He responded in a way that made it seem like he was on the platform.
And once the two posts are deleted, Up next, though, we'll get back to this later because I'm fascinated by the whole thing. But up next, we're going to talk about a familiar name that is being floated out there for the Chiefs. And I don't want us to do this. I don't want us to do this. And maybe Cody will finally switch sides. We'll explain next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.